Hello and welcome to Food for the Future podcast, broadcasting live from the World Food Forum headquarters in Rome, Italy. I'm Alexandra, your host, and today we are exploring the Global Youth Action Plan, an ambitious roadmap created by the World Food Forum's Youth Policy Board to address food security and sustainability challenges across the globe. This plan, launched at our 2024 flagship event, sets the region-specific priorities that were shaped through consultation with young groups worldwide. Leaders at the event emphasized the importance of collaboration and actionable steps to bring this vision to life. In today's episode, we will hear from the World Food Forum Youth Policy Board members who will share their insights on their region's key challenges, policy goals, and their commitment to making a real impact on global agri-food systems. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alexandra, and welcome. I'll be your host for today. And welcome to our Food for the Future podcast. It's lovely to have you all here.
Hello, and thank you so much for having us. I'm Marilina Bachmeier. I'm from Germany, and I'm part of the Youth Policy Board representing Europe and Central Asia.
Thank you. My name is George Platt. I'm also part of the Youth Policy Board for Europe and Central Asia. My full-time job is that I'm a civil servant in the government of Northern Ireland. So it's a pleasure to be here in Rome with all of the World Food Forum.
Hello, my name is David Giles. I'm from Ireland and I work here at the World Food Forum Secretariat in the Youth Assembly team, where I have the great pleasure of working with Marilena and George, among others, on the Youth Policy Board.
So before we start with, let's say, questions, I would like to ask David, what is the Global Youth Action Plan?
Okay, so the Global Youth Action Plan is a document that contains all of the policy priorities that have been identified by this region for action. So it's broken into the methodology that it took to reach here today, and then what are the actionable items that each of the regions have identified, and then how they're going to implement these actions for agri-food systems transformation in their region.
Thank you, David, for giving us such a lovely explanation. And guys, you were today as well, right, at the launch of the Global Youth Action Plan. And why don't you tell us about your journey?
So it started in 2021 when our colleagues did like a lot of background analysis, research about all the statements, all the pledges that have already been out there made by youth globally. And they compiled it all in a compendium. That's the word, right? And from that base on, in the next year, in 2022, also the Youth Policy Board members from during that time started to create out of this synopsis policy recommendations and identified like key priorities for each region. And this was also brought out through like surveys, consultations, several assemblies, like to get like feedback from different youth and diverse voices in the different regions to get like a solid ground for the policy recommendations and have like all voices included. Then we had like all the policy priorities identified, which were like 5 policy priorities per region. And our goal this year from like 2024 on, so this year's youth policy cohort, we tried to take these policy recommendations, focus on one priority to really create like actions that can have an impact. And we know there are like diverse challenges out there in food systems, but we really wanted to have like actions that can create an impact. So we really wanted to go deep into the policy recommendations. So we took like one policy recommendation and turn it into actions, which we then launch today.
I'd love to build on what Marilena has already mentioned about our journey here so far. The World Food Forum has 6 different regions covering the whole world. And of those 6 regions, there are 4 young people from each of them who act as representatives to the Youth Policy Board. So that's Marilena from Germany, myself from the United Kingdom, and then we also have a member from Italy and a member from Turkey to complement the Europe and Central Asia region. This is a huge region with over 50 countries, over 300 languages, innumerable local contexts and cultures and heritages. So we've had to really think over the past few months, how do we appropriately represent the concerns of youth across such a diverse region and synthesize their priorities into the Global Action Plan, which we've been working to finalize during this week here in Rome. We can't believe it's already been a week. We've been here in Rome, but we've been meeting with so many people, including indigenous youth, young scientists from the region, parliamentarians with interests as well in global youth action for food. So we've really come together to try and harmonize all of these ideas and make sure that we're correctly accounting for the different customs, traditions, and ways of doing agriculture and rural affairs in each of these local contexts. It's been a great journey. This is just the start. We have some policy recommendations now, but now is the time for delivery, the time for holding our partner organizations to account and into collaborative frameworks, and making sure that the Global Delivery Board, which is all the youth of our region, come together to see that these priorities become implemented and lasting stories in our communities.
And as I understood, there are two accountable items in the action plan that you have identified, right?
Yeah, so the first priority we had was to build on our five national World Food Forum chapters, mm-hmm. which are mostly in Western Europe, and the priorities we've previously examined there in the World Food Forum of food loss and waste. How do we keep this item at the top of the agenda, and how do we build up awareness for young people in these parts of the region to adequately tackle issues of food loss and waste in their contexts? This issue doesn't translate as well, perhaps, to other parts of what is a gigantic region of Europe and Central Asia. So secondly, we also want to spend a good few months in the coming year to pivot towards maybe helping indigenous communities put their policy proposals to the front as well, and trying to form a sort of advisory council of both indigenous and non-indigenous youth to work together and give regional backing to the priorities that are more relevant to their communities. And then finally, what does it look like to really champion rural communities in Central Asia where there are just more fundamental concerns of brain drain and rural development? And we'd love to work with national chapters more in Central Asia to establish a rural youth champion scheme, some sort of hometown heroes project where young people are equipped to tell the stories of their cultures to a rapidly urbanizing world and to, you know, protect the ways of agriculture and pastoral life in that part of the region.
Maybe to add on it is that we were like working for that plan throughout a whole year, and it's been like a quite exciting journey to also put it on a personal level. Like, it was really great to engage with everyone. We were meeting like bi-weekly online and engaged with also the other regions, and then finally to be here and meet everyone in person, that was like amazing. And it's also nice to like have like this in-person exchange now. And like, as I said, we were working on the plan throughout the year already. We also had consultations and surveys and assemblies the whole year. And now at the World Food Forum, we also met again with like the indigenous communities, young farmers, young parliamentarians. And there we also got like feedback on our thematic assembly, regional assembly again. And there we also realized that we kind of had taken like a very one-way approach, which doesn't really cover all the needs in the region and also not really reflected all the voices out there. So that was like, for me, one of the greatest parts of the World Food Forum, then really to in-depth exchange with the people here and really hear what they have to say, and then have the chance to work on the plan again and revise it, and not just like, okay, well, we have done that now, it's out there, so let's see. But we actually like worked on it again, took all the feedback in, and now I'm actually very happy with what we have created, and I really feel it represents a lot of the regional challenges and needs.
Talking about World Food Forum and your personal experience, now I would like to ask you, how it feels working with people from all around the world, being here, actually able to use platform that gives you opportunity to actually raise your voice and be part of decision making. So it's a question for you as well,
for
David.
Me? Okay.
So what about you?
So I think it's very exciting to meet people from all over the world. There's very few places, I think, as international as the United Nations, and especially during the flagship week, to have over 10,000 people here in person, all of whom are here because they care about the agri-food system and what we can do to transform it. That's what I find incredible, that all of these people are coming from such different backgrounds, but we have this one thing in common. And then from there, we can find other things in common. So I'm really, really happy to be here. and I'm excited to see where the connections we make this week will take us going forward.
My full-time job is that I'm a policymaker and civil servant in the government of Northern Ireland in the United Kingdom. And if there's one lesson I like to reflect on and apply from my own context of Northern Ireland and the peace process, it's that lasting change and real cultural shift is only possible when you listen to every voice in the room and work with people you're not used to hearing the stories of and empathizing with on their own level. Can you relate to people who have very different frameworks of thinking, different grammar, logic, and rhetoric? And how do you come together to form meaningful outcomes that apply to all communities? And that's really part of the glory of being here at the United Nations FAO for the World Food Forum. It's something I had a taste of last year when I was very thankful to be leading at the UNESCO Youth Forum. But being here and actually having ownership of this policy document we're putting together, which at first was very abstract to us. What even is policy? How can we speak for youth in such a huge region? But now it seems to be far more rewarding to know that we can take this forward, knowing that youth around the world are going to help deliver this with us, that we have partners who are going to be engaging with us through the years ahead. And we're also going to be wanting to raise up successive generations to take this on when we're far too old to be doing youth policy. We'll have further young people from each of our countries who will take ownership of these ideas and apply them in their own contexts where we can't even begin to imagine the challenges, rewards and stories of working in those areas of food and rural life. So yeah, it's been fantastic to be here overall.
No, it's like really, really enriching, and I'm very like thankful to be here, and it's like just great to hear from so many perspectives, and I learned so much this week, like so much new input. And also, as David said, everyone here is so motivated, so engaged, and that really like also gives you hope for the future, that there are so many people out there who have like such brilliant ideas, and I'm definitely sure we all can make a change to a more sustainable world.
Well, I have to agree with you. It's truly inspiring having you all here. But one last question. So as we're talking about youth and motivation and how people are truly believing in what they do, I want to ask you, is there any advice that you would like to give to young people who are willing to actually transform agri-food systems? Is there anything you would like to tell them?
I can start. So I would say, search for the opportunities that are already out there. Take the spaces, because there are a lot of opportunities there to, like, for youth engagement, youth involvement, and don't wait for them to come to you, but be proactive, be disruptive, but also like try to build up partnership networks, exchange with people around you, with other youth, but other stakeholders. Like, I also think intergenerational dialogue is really important. And also join the youth policy board and shape policy recommendations yourself. So that would be my advice for everyone.
Thank you. George, what about you?
I'm often convicted by the phrase of an old mentor of mine, which is, how come everybody wants to save the world, but no one wants to do the dishes? In other words, we all want to talk about big change, but why can't we start on the small scale and serve our own local communities in a sense? So this is exactly what the World Food Forum's all about. It's about doing the dishes. It's about getting in the kitchen. It's about talking to those people you've never talked to before. Marilena and I this week have been getting to know Indigenous people, the Sami people. We've been talking a lot with a very strong youth delegation from Uzbekistan about the challenges in their region. We wouldn't normally do this. It's great to do so, but we really need to be able to know how we work with them going forward. So what does it look like to co-design partnerships? How can we actually work for change in these communities that we've never been to? But I think that is the challenge for youth. Learn how to make yourselves indispensable to your own local community. And then you can do pretty much anything. And then secondly, find the story. What is the big story behind what you're working for? There's a lot of people who get up on the stage, read out their priorities, and I don't remember them. But if you can find the hook, if you can find the story and make that click, then you can really deliver something that sticks, sticky change. I remember when I was getting involved in UNESCO for the first time as a young person, and I noticed that every other country in the world was sending a young person to be at the UNESCO Youth Forum in Paris last year, except for my country. Didn't have any youth programming, didn't have a budget to send youth. So I found that story, and I reached out to our UNESCO National Commission, said, how come every other country is going to be at this UNESCO Youth Forum in Paris? The first one in 4 years. We've not sent anyone in the last 10 years. Don't we have a story to share anymore? Didn't we help found this organization? How are we raising up young ambassadors for our cultures, telling that story around the world? So find the hook and then press that story onto the people who need to hear it. Say, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll fund myself. And I'll prove that if I have the access, the opportunities, and the proximity, that we can build those partnerships and we can start to work for that kind of change, both locally, in our communities, and then telling that story in different contexts and partnering with people we've never partnered with before. So I'd encourage youth to think about those ideas of seeking out opportunities, making their own luck, and finding out how to be indispensable to their own local settings.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And David, you, anything to add?
Anything to add? It's hard to follow Marlena and George. But I think as young people, more generally, it's very important to back yourself and to know that when you're engaging in a space, even if you feel like you don't have the expertise or the years of experience of the other people in the room, that you, as a young person, are already an expert in your lived experience, and that you deserve to be in this space and you should be valued in this space. And if even if these people are only including you for tokenistic reasons to have you there, to have a young person in the photo, then you need to take this opportunity and show them why you deserve to be there. And then this cycle can maybe be a learning experience for them as much as for you.
I love that point of view. Thank you so much, guys, for being here with me today. It was lovely talking to you. And I hope we're going to have opportunity to talk even more, even further on your future plans and projects you'll be doing. And I wish you all the luck with it. All the best. And thank you one more time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes today's episode of the Food for the Future podcast. For more updates from the World Food Forum, follow us on social media and visit our website at world-food-forum.org. Until the next time.